It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years, bunch of podcasts. Love me some Ross Tucker football podcast. How about the Even Money podcast? Been outstanding. It always is. College draft podcast. The perfect time of year as we have Emery and a host of guests. Teron Davenport talking wide receivers this week was phenomenal. Last week, we talked running backs with Emery Hunt and Matt Waldman on the college draft. Today, we're talking running backs with my guy, Wes Huber, from fantasypoints.com, where you should all always use the code 22feast. Sign up now. Joe, refresh my memory. There's discounts for people that sign up or renew now, right? 22feast?
22feast. But if you want a taste, I mean, you go up to fantasypoints.com, and right there on the homepage, we have a little tile where you click on it, and it's Dynasty Draft Profiles from Wes Huber. It's right there on the homepage, and he's been profiling running backs. We've got almost a dozen up there right now from Wes, obviously, by the time this episode airs. I mean, and he dug right into the running backs, and I mean, Ross, you've been talking about it with Emery, but I'll pose a question to Wes right now. It's a pretty deep class at running back.
Oh, man. I mean, I've just got a treat for you guys. You talked running backs last week, so obviously you've already gone over them all, but I absolutely love this class. And, you know, I actually think there are a couple of guys here that I think are going to be, you know, the type of guys that are going to make a massive difference in fantasy. So I'm real excited to get into them here.
So, number one, make sure you're checking us all out on social media. He's at Wes Huber NFL. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Joe is the fantasy gangster at FG underscore Dolan. We mentioned fantasypoints.com. All of our shows, by the way, always available. Full episode and the highlight clips, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. If you want to see the backwards blue hat that Wes wears every episode, or if you want to see the fantasy points hat a little bit to the side because he thinks he's cool that Joe wears every episode with the straight brim, because Joe's a millennial, unlike me, where we would have like the folded brim, like you'd pull it down. It's unbelievable how much it's changed over the years, by the way. Let me ask you both this. Before we dive into Wes's thoughts on the draft prospects, how important is it to look at the veteran backs and where they're going, what they're signing for, and comparing them? Like, we didn't even talk last week, Joe, about Rashad Penny being back in Seattle. He had a dominant end of the season run.
Right, but see, you look at the running back contracts, and very few of these guys are getting locked into a contract at the Christian McCaffrey-type levels where you're like, I would be stunned if that team spent a top 90 pick on a running back. Wes, you probably agree here. It's like the thing with running backs is, especially with a lot of teams going a year or two at the position on the free agent market, it's really not a shock if anybody drafts one highly, if they value the guy. You know, Indianapolis drafted Jonathan Taylor when Marlon Mack was coming off of close to back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Like, it is not a position where, like, the quarterback spot where you're like, oh, they can't spend a top 50 pick there because they have this guy. I mean, Breece Hall, I think, honestly, Breece Hall has gotten to a point where if you don't have him as RB1 in this class, I really question what the hell you're thinking. But the thing about him is, like, yeah, we have our ideal landing spots, but really he could probably go just about anywhere with the exception of like maybe two or three teams. That's the thing about running backs.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, I don't like to look at the Rashad Penny contract and use that as our baseline. You know, coming off all the injuries, he had a string of injuries, finally got healthy. He was great. I loved what he did at the end of the year. But, you know, there's a lot of background to that, a long injury history there. I think the one that we should be looking to is a guy like Leonard Fournette. So he's already worked through his second contract. I mean, he's working on another contract here, 3-year deal, good money. So I think that's more of a better baseline. But then again, I mean, you also have to look at the need out there, like what teams are really that desperate for a running back right now. And then what type of running back do they need to fit their scheme? So, you know, perhaps the teams that actually had the need didn't feel like Rashad Penny was the right kind of guy.
So, Wes, let's dive into your rankings. And again, it's been a few weeks now. So if you can talk about your methodology between, you know, melding, if you will, the numbers and the film, and if there's a clear number one guy for you. Joe, before you're even allowed to say your rankings, Joe basically, like you said a month ago is your boss, just said you're a moron if Breece Hall isn't your number one guy. So talk about peer pressure here. When someone's boss says, if you don't have a guy number one, you're a moron, and now he has to say who his number one guy is. I am praying to the gods it's not Breece Hall, just so I can see Joe Dolan's facial reaction right now. Go ahead, Wes.
So that's why it's so great working for Joe, because he edited my articles. He knows exactly who I have as my RB1. So he's not going to set me up for failure like that. So yeah, definitely Breece Hall is the guy here. He does it all. I mean, looking at what he did, the only running backs that tested at a 75th percentile or higher in the 40 vertical jump, excuse me, and broad jump over the last 10 seasons are Jerick McKinnon and Elijah Mitchell. So we're talking about two studs. Of course, Elijah Mitchell, it was during the 21 season when there was no combine, but you know, the numbers are still there. But real quick to jump back into the methodology, like you asked originally. So I collect the data. I like to, before I get into the film, I like to go into it knowing where a player excels, knowing where he struggles or didn't see a lot of time, and you know what type of run concepts, what type of disciplines that they were using, RPOs, read option. I want to know what kind of player he is for when I watch the film, so that I know if I'm seeing something different, then I know that I need to dig deeper. And so for running back specifically, that's how I go into it. And I also like to look back all the way to high school. I like to look at the numbers that they put up in high school. I like to look at the combines that they did before they went to college. It's a tool. It's not telling us, oh, this guy's this kind of athlete. Obviously they're young guys. They're not even adults yet when they test there. But I still like to use it as a tool to see, okay, so he put that up back then, and now he's putting this up at this combine. So, I mean, and so that I know the type of development, the type of work that the player puts into it. So, but with Breece Hall, going back to him, this guy, I mean, he averaged 250 touches per season going back to his first year. Starting role in high school. And, you know, is that something that we should be concerned about? I dug deeper into that. And the running backs with the top 10 most carries in NFL history, they compiled 133 seasons and nearly 35,000 attempts, which was a combined average of about 259 rushing attempts per season, about 12% more than Hall's averaged over his last five seasons. So I think more important than anything else, it's an injury history when it comes to running back. And when you have those knee injuries, those can be devastating to the longevity of a running back's career. And so with Breece Hall, never been injured. He's putting up some insane athleticism numbers at the combine. I got to say, I just love everything this guy does. And I don't think you're going to find a shortage of people out there saying it. Just put up just ridiculous numbers that we just drool about for fantasy. But, you know, he does have a couple of things I'd like to see him work on, as far as I do like when he ran under control a little bit more. It's something he does quite often, but sometimes he can run out of his shoes trying to wiggle and dance around too much. So I would like him to get out of that. But, and then he's a taller back, so he runs a little high. But, you know, as long as he gets those pads down, that's okay. And then, you know, it's something that it's obviously a problem for a lot of running backs. But you see him when defenders get into the backfield early, you know, he doesn't have that instant jump out of the backfield to get away from him. But, you know, I say that, and I'm sure that's easier said than done. But he's very decisive when he's attacking his lanes. I love that. He's really fit for more of an outside zone scheme. And he also did really well with pulling linemen inside zone scheme. But he also has a lot of outside zone experience. The one thing, though, is he's more of a very standard and, the old school power back. So he hasn't had a whole lot of read option and RPO. When he went to Iowa, he played his first year and they were using a lot of 11 personnel. And then they kind of changed the entire offense to fit him. So, that's something he'll need to work on. But I see a lot of Jonathan Taylor in his game. And based off of his athleticism, I mean, that's the closest comp that I can come up with.
Joe, we don't expect any of these guys to be first round picks, right? I mean, where do you think Breece Hall ends up? Somewhere in the second?
Probably. I think that's usually the thought. But we've seen in the past, the recent past, some of these teams at the end of the first round essentially making what you would call luxury picks. Kansas City with Edwards-Helaire two years ago. Pittsburgh with Najee Harris, and then Jacksonville with Travis Etienne. And obviously we didn't see Etienne, but Pittsburgh essentially made Najee Harris their foundation back. I mean, everybody loves to yell about teams that take running backs in the first round, but it's always worth pointing out that there's 32 first round picks, but probably no team is going to have 32 players graded as a first round pick. And, like, there might be teams that have 17 guys graded as first-round picks. There might be teams that have 21 guys graded as first-round picks on their personal board. So maybe some of these teams that are picking 29, 30, 31, 32, they just don't view their a first-round value there, or at maybe a position of need. So they'll take a guy who they're like, all right, you know, we have to make this pick. We love the player. We love Breece Hall. I wouldn't be stunned, Wes, if I saw Breece Hall sneak into the back end of the first round. But I think he's probably going to be one of those guys who we're talking about in the lull between day one and day two of the drafts. He's going to hear his name called very soon. What's the spot for him? I think that's probably the most likely outcome.
Yeah, top of the second round. That's where he's going to go. And you can really look at those first picks of the second round. I mean, they're essentially an extension of the first round. The guys that that are obviously have the talent to go in the first, but the teams are trying to hold out at a certain position because, you know, the wide receivers, quarterbacks, especially even in a weak class, we're going to see a lot of several quarterbacks drafted in the first round. And then cornerback. I mean, these are an edge defender. These are all positions of just absolute need in the NFL. And they're going to go before running back, but we'll see Breece Hall go very early in round two. And you know, I would be a little surprised if he went in the first just because of how much need there is at those other positions.
Do you have a number two back, Wes?
Yeah, and it's pretty settled. Kenneth Walker III, absolutely just a dynamic lightning player. This guy was just unbelievable last year for Michigan State, coming over from Wake, where they basically used him in a rotation. He's got some sudden change of direction. He does it all. Wildcat quarterback, he's got this one cut type of running style, and he combines it with the quickness, the speed, the acceleration. We didn't see him catch a lot of passes for the Spartans, but he only caught 17 during his entire collegiate career. Go back to high school though, and we see he caught 64 balls and 16 touchdowns in high school. He was carrying the ball 25% more than he was tasked with running routes in college. So in no way should we write off his ability as a receiver. I think he's going to develop there very well. He just happened to play for a team that just fell in love with his running ability. And that's where they put all of their attention, they wanted to get as many touches out of him as possible. You know, I think he's a guy that is going to just be a breakout guy. That's going to just, I think he's going to instantly take to the NFL game. He's got an additional burst element to everyone else in this class, other than Breece Hall. Breece Hall's got that as well. If you let Breece Hall break outside contain, just like Kenneth Walker, he's gone. There's no stopping him. He's gonna run away from your safeties. They're not catching him. So these guys are just the big playmakers. And then like Hall, Kenneth Walker, he makes that first defender miss. And he uses momentum though, rather than Hall, he likes to initiate some contact. Whereas Kenneth Walker, he likes to use a lot of momentum. And they both tap into elite speed. I mean, they're separated from everyone else at the top of the class here.
Interesting. So you believe there's a big drop off between Walker and Hall and the rest of these guys?
I think there's a big drop off as far as rushing ability, or I should say, as being a dynamic runner. But I think that after the first two, I think we start tapping into more multidimensional type players that are just as dangerous, but in a different way. But I do think there's going to be a gap that's going to separate where these guys get drafted. I think Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker are our second round guys. And then we're going to have a little bit of time until we see the next grouping.
Interesting. You know what else is interesting? You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Ross. Bet $5 on any college hoops team to win this week in the Final Four and get $200 in free bets if they do. So pick one of the teams to win Saturday. If they win, you win with promo code Ross this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 or older, restrictions apply, of course. All right, so Wes, you said there's a drop-off. I still want to know, though, who's your next guy? Who's number three?
Yeah, number three it's pretty tight here, but the guy I settled on was Rashad White out of Arizona State. So I met him at the combine, had a little talk with him, and you know, just explained that you know, I'd watched all of his stuff and I'm a big fan. I was rooting for him, but you know, the responses that he gave me, very intelligent guy, a guy that he carries himself very well. And you know, and so when I was watching his tape, so I mean, he carried the Arizona State offense on his shoulders last season. And, you know, they had another guy there, Chip Tranium, who was, he's coming in. I mean, this guy, one of the highest rated four-star guys that Arizona State had ever recruited. And he basically just, he was a backup. Rashad White turned him into a backup. So Rashad White, he avoids running high, even though he's a taller back. But I think he anticipates contact very well. He uses his vision over the wiggle. And then that kind of renders his jump cuts a lot more unexpected. And so it frees him up. He likes to set up defenders by, you know, looking one way and then attacking. And very similar to most jump cut guys. But, you know, it just doesn't dance around a lot. So, but I thought his confidence grew as games went on. He had a really good success rate in 21 against deep safeties. When he was put on an island, he would shred right past them. He has an explosive vertical, explosive broad jump. So he's a guy that's got that ability to get through the trenches, even though he doesn't have the speed of Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall. And then we get into what he does like no other in the class, and that's catch the football. This guy has got some serious receiving ability. The upside, fantasy upside, is through the roof. I absolutely love Rashad White. When you flip it over and you start paying attention to what he does as a receiver, you know, he may not be the most impressive running back on the ground, but man, his receiving ability really sets him apart from most in the class. He showed a little more wiggle as a receiver, looked a lot more comfortable. I seriously think that he could play slot if he wanted to. Even he would be a massive slot, but he could. That's how good of a receiver he is. Sharp route running. You put a linebacker across from him, and he's going to get left in the dust. This guy is a baller. But, you know, like I say, there's going to be a little drop. He's going to go somewhere around the third round. But, you know, he made quite the impression at the Senior Bowl, and he's not a sleeper. Everyone's on him. The Sharps, they're out there. They know who he is, and they're going to pick him up. So just keep that in mind if you're going up against them in any leagues.
Feels like that's what people want, Joe. Feels like people want the guy that can really be a receiver and isn't just a guy that runs it. You know, we know Walker didn't catch that many passes. I mean, everybody kind of wants this guy they can split out, and that it's a matchup nightmare for linebackers.
Yeah, and like, but here's the issue, and this is what really comes in to the evaluations, and it's kind of hard, I think, to see this on college tape often, is teams not trusting guys in pass protection. You know, I remember last year, I don't 100% recall what Wes thought of Kenneth Gainwell, but Greg Cosell thought he was one of the best receiving backs in the country. The problem was he struggled in pass protection on third downs and when he had to stand. And as a matter of fact, he missed a block that got Jalen Hurts hurt at the end of the year when he suffered an ankle sprain. So sometimes you have to look through that as well. I have a couple of questions for Wes, but let's start there. Wes, how often do you see pass pro on film from these guys? And how projectable is that to the NFL?
It's not. Even if a guy loses all of the pass protection snaps, maybe he loses a couple of targets, but you know, if he's that dynamic of a receiver, they're going to get him on the field. He's going to get his targets. I mean, there's so many examples. Jonathan Taylor is one of the worst blocking pass pro backs and blitz pickup guys at running back in the league. You've got Dalvin Cook, you've got Alvin Kamara. I mean, the list goes on of top guys that it's just not an issue. It's not something that we really need to evaluate in fantasy. You know, obviously that's going to go into a guy's profile as in an NFL evaluation for a team, but it's not an issue in fantasy. So, you know, going back to Kenneth Gainwell, you know, what was so hard about him is we only had that one season to evaluate him, and he didn't give up. I don't think he gave up a sack. I don't think he let his quarterback be touched on any of his pass pro snaps, but you know, he's playing in the AAC, who no knock on them, but they don't have the consistent level of talent across an entire roster. So you might run into a team here or there with a really dangerous edge rusher, but you're not going to run into it like every game. So obviously the guys that are in the Power Five conferences, that's why it's easier to evaluate them, because we have them going up against top talent game in and game out. Other than, you know, every now and then they'll bring a cupcake to town. But I don't think it's an issue that we need to worry about in fantasy, at least in particular.
So here's a question, Wes. I felt like a year ago people were saying, yeah, there might not be any stud running backs this year, maybe Najee Harris or whatever, but next year, Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M, next year. I feel like everybody was saying last year that Isaiah Spiller would be a first-round pick this year. What happened?
No, you know, and I misspoke. I completely forgot about him because I haven't evaluated him yet. So that's by design. Yeah, he had a strained abductor muscle during the combine, and at least according to his agent, it affected his numbers. And so we're waiting for his pro day results on the 28th. I actually have him as the RB3, and I think that he could go in the second round. I think he's that good. If you'll go back to the Alabama game, you know, and everything I've watched on Isaiah Spiller has been from what I watched, you know, just for my own personal enjoyment last year. And he was just an explosive back. He was directly responsible for that victory over Alabama. They have another guy there, Devin Achane, who, in my opinion, is one of the top five running backs in the country that, you know, obviously won't be in this draft, but they're still in good hands. And then they've even got another guy behind him, big guy that's going to come in and replace Spiller. But I love Spiller. I think he can do it all. I want to have those numbers from his pro day before I really get into it, because I don't want to go into it looking at it like, okay, so we ran this at the combine. Now I want to see this on tape, and then they don't mix. I want to see if there's actually some some substance to that injury. And because I think what he did at Texas A&M was important. I think he's going to be an important addition to the NFL.
Wes, by the way, we're recording this, by the way, you're listening to this after we record it, obviously, but you're listening to this, folks, a week after we recorded this. We're recording this on March 22nd. We are literally recording it during Isaiah Spiller's pro day. Wes, I'm going to throw it out there right to you right now. Roster Watch at Roster Watch on Twitter is there.
Okay.
2 40-yard dashes, 4.59, 4.53 for Isaiah Spiller. For a guy who's pushing 220, I feel like that'll play.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more like it. That's exactly what I want to hear because, you know, I also want to hear his broad jump, his vertical jump. Those are two of the others that I'm. And then if we get a three cone or a pro shuttle, I'd love to see those just so I can look at the comparisons to the other players that, you know, previously posted numbers. But yeah, that's impressive. I love it because he's a bigger back, and if he's running in the 4.5s, I mean, that's, you know, we're talking the Nick Chubb runs in the 4.5s, that type of player that at that type of size, around 220, 4.5 is where we want to see him. So that's great to hear.
Kareem Hunt was near a 4.7, wasn't he? So like, I feel like the 40-yard dash is very overrated for running backs. Now, a faster one's better. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So if a guy runs a slow 40, you know, something may have happened. He may have tweaked something but didn't say anything. I also like looking at the 20 times, the 10 times. The splits are great, and it's more of a comparison. And you know, if a guy's bigger, if a guy's like, say, 185 pounds and he's running a 4.7, I mean, we have major problems. You know, but for a bigger back, that's not a huge deal. I believe James Robinson ran something like a 4.64. It's not a problem. You know, these are bigger backs. They're able to break tackles and create their own offense. So, you know, that's not a major problem. I seriously didn't want to give the impression that I think 40 is going to determine if they're going to be a great player. But I will tell you, when my eyebrows do perk up on a 40 for a running back is when they run in the 4.3s. Because that right there is going to tell you he breaks contain, he's gone. There's nobody stopping him. So, and you know, we can talk about that all day, just going through the NFL, looking at guys like Jonathan Taylor, looking Breece Hall here and Kenneth Walker. I mean, wow. And there's a couple other guys lower down that I haven't evaluated yet that ran some Devontae Price out of Florida International. So I'm interested to see what he can do.
Any other guys? You got time for one more guy. I know Emory Hunt on the College Draft podcast last week. His number one guy was DeShawn Corbin from Florida State. People like Kyron Williams, Notre Dame. Tyler Allgeier from BYU. There's a couple of Georgia kids. Zamir White, James Cook. You got maybe Brian Robinson from Bama. I'm letting you talk about one more guy, Wes. You got to sell me on one more guy you like.
All right, so I'm not big on Zamir White. He's a guy who puts his head down, runs. So he's got a good cut, but he lowers his head, puts his face mask to the ground, and runs forward. I don't think that's the type of running style that should be applauded in the NFL. I do not like him as a prospect. He's low. He's way down on my ranks. Tyler Beatty, too small. Hassan Haskins, I really like him. I bumped him down, though, yesterday after I looked at Kennedy Brooks' tape. Kennedy Brooks is going to be a player in the NFL. Watch out. Another guy I really like, Kevin Harris. But the guy I'm going to sell you on here is James Cook. This kid can ball. I think he's a better receiver than his brother. He ran track. He did all kinds of track and field stuff. He's got great speed for his size. His burst, his acceleration, it's right up there with anybody else in this class. Excellent jump cut. His receiving is just – it's just phenomenal. I love this kid. He's going to go right there with Rashad White, maybe Isaiah Spiller, but I think Spiller's, I think he's closer to the top two. But James Cook here, man, he caught 67 passes at Georgia without a drop. I mean, and he made, he's like Rashad White, making linebackers look ridiculous in coverage. He knows how to get open. He keeps his attention focused on the ball, something that Kennedy Brooks doesn't do, you know, and
I'm sold. Wes, yeah. I'm sold. I'm sold on James Cook. I'm sold on at Wes Huber NFL, at FG_Dolan, and fantasypoints.com. using the code 22FEAST. We're stuffed.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mention DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.